volleyball game, and her first one, so I didn't head your way.
Well, good morning out there, family. Good morning, family of God. Good morning to 91.1 Highsville and Glasgow. Good morning to 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. And good morning to 91.5 locally here in Litchfield, Hardinsburg. How about you app listeners out there? Thanks for joining in, and our internet listeners as well, and those who will listen via the podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to us via the podcast. We love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. And today we declare and proclaim over your life, He is more than enough, my friend. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, He is more than enough. This is the day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, for this is a day of salvation. This is a day of deliverance. This is a day of healing. This is the day where you will see your breakthrough. Breakthrough may not be from sin. Breakthrough may just be from one elevation to another elevation. Let's move it on up.
Yep.
Move it on up. We're going up to where Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration. I want to go up. Amen. I don't want to go down. I want to go up.
Higher ground.
I want to go up. And so we're ready to go in the name of Jesus. Got a full house again this Tuesday morning.
Yeah, man.
Miss Jeannie, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Ready to go.
I mean, the Lord's doing things.
You came packing double hand. I don't know if that's water or coffee, but.
Well, I was packing for somebody else.
She was packing in case she needed to give some away.
She's got one on both sides there on the arsenal. Miss Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing just great.
And Miss Crystal's back with us another Tuesday.
Yeah.
How are you, Miss Crystal?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Jeannie was packing for me, so I've got coffee and water, so I'm double prepared.
There you go.
What it is, if I drink too much coffee, it's good.
Is that an outward expression of an inward thing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Packing one in each hand.
Absolutely. It can be anything it wants to be.
The sword and the spirit. How about that? The sword and the spirit.
We'll just call it balance. I've got it this morning, too. Good morning out there, everybody. And just happy to be here. Blessed to be here. My new thing, I think, is full of gratitude this morning.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I think that's been my common thing.
All my words, Father.
We'll be singing throughout this
with
one.
Lord, lift me up. On higher ground.
See, for me, the coffee doesn't make me crazy anymore because I'm so used to it. So I just want the water to balance me out a little bit. Yeah, get me hydrated.
That's what I have to do.
Well, it is good to be with everybody on this it's not September yet.
I'm pushing
for September and October. I'm ready. All right, August the 5th, 2025. And just a lot of great things happening. Tent Revival's coming up later in the month here in McDaniels, Kentucky, with Brother Zachary Kapp. That's right around the corner. School starts back Friday, Miss Crystal. Are you ready?
Yeah, well, this is my first day back at the school. So we'll see. I've been pretty spoiled at home, so I don't know. I told Todd, I said, gosh, being somewhere all day long, it's been a while.
I don't know if I can do that.
Exactly.
Amen. Babysitting clinic there for the BCA volleyball. $10 donation per kid this Friday night, 5 to 8:30. Helps the volleyball team. Joseph Habedank is going to be in Litchfield on this Friday night as well at East Main Market in Litchfield, Kentucky. That is right there on the square. That starts at 6 o'clock p.m. New Horizons having an Equipping the Saints with Power Conference. Starts Friday night as well, and Saturday at 3 and 6. That is at New Horizon Church, located at 1000 Cave Mill Road, Litchfield, Kentucky. And then just excited for all that the Lord's going to do in the lives of kids that's going back to school in all of our counties and all of our regions and all of our schools. And we're praying for you. We're declaring God's blessing over you and that God may send revival in His breath. I'm going to read the quote again. I read it 3 days, I read it yesterday, and I read it Sunday morning during the sermon. And this is a quote that I'm just living by right now. This is probably my life statement at the moment. I don't even know who G. Campbell Morgan is, but whoever this guy is, I just liked him for this quote. We cannot organize revival, but we can set our sails to catch the winds of heaven when God chooses to blow upon His people again. Mm. So my sails are set, and just blow wherever you want, Lord.
That's awesome.
We're just going to go. It's the season of being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and you just never know. I mean, it's like me and Josh was talking again yesterday on the phone just Sunday morning, just how literally I knew before service what song we were going to shift to, when we were going to shift to it, that we was not going to get to the third song. I knew it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, you're going to have to do it. Because sooner or later, Hannah's going to kill me for keep cutting her song off. And
not true.
It'd be 2 weeks in a row. But he was talking to Hannah. He was talking to Heather. But I was like, I'm not going to do this. I want this to be you. Because it can vary. Because I love the song. And I'm like, Lord, if I'm not careful, it'll be my flesh here. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew, though. I knew. And I was like, Lord, you're just going to have to do it. And Josh Newton gets up there after the second song because Heather can't go to the third song. She just keeps playing, and she's in a stall moment. And Josh said, I got to get the mic. Can I say something? I said, absolutely, Josh. And he goes up there, and the song is Chainbreaker. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, eviction notice, chain breaking. Chainbreaker's in the room. And Josh gets up there, and the first words that come out of his mouth between the second and third song, which I knew was going to happen early that morning, was literally, this is an eviction notice on the enemy. And then just all spirit breaks out all over the room, and we march, we shout, we have deliverance, we have victory, we have all these things. People are getting saved, people are getting delivered, people are getting healed, testimony after testimony are rocking here, firing off there, and it's just like we're just setting ourselves like, just do whatever you want, Holy Spirit. We was at a standstill in our march for a little bit, but we figured out, did we, Miss Karen?
Yeah, we were fine.
I didn't realize that if we stretch everybody out around the sanctuary, you can't move. Like, you literally, like, when you get everybody around them, like that many people, I didn't realize it, but you are touching each other. Uh-huh. And you're, like, on top of each other, and if one person stops, everybody stops. And so we were literally on each other's back.
We were talking about that, and I think it's because usually not everybody participates in that concert.
But everybody.
So some people are still there.
Anybody was
everybody
in the
except for two people that were had some health
things. But they were involved. They were there.
I will share this too, though, because the Lord reminded me of this. Like, even way before we had service, I had a dream. I've been having a lot more dreams, thank you, Jesus, because I'm thankful for him. But I had a dream that during service, I went up to Aaron and I said, I don't think I can sing this morning. I said the presence of the Lord is just so strong, and I don't think I can sing. I don't think I can sing. I just have to sit here in his presence. And then that happened. So the Lord reminded me of that, because I didn't think it was connected. But then I remembered that it was right before that song. And so I think the Lord was already kind of preparing me for that.
And it's
preparing
just
the room.
It's just, I mean, the breath of God is blowing. We was there, like, that baptism service that we was in Friday night, and deliverance happened in the water, and salvations, and Heather's testimony about her two friends getting saved at the bank, and just, I mean, we're just seeing salvation left and right. We're seeing deliverance. We're seeing the miracles of God. Cancer drying up. We have one documented proof of that, a fourth stage four cancer getting healed. And it's just, all these things are just, wow. And it's nothing that we're doing. And I think that's the message of the church. Just set the sails, man. Just whatever you're doing, set the sails. Stop trying to control this. Stop trying to point this here and point that there and try to get excellent. I mean, there's all about excellent, you know, gifts and being excellent in for the Lord. But it's like, we can't produce what God's pouring out. All we can do is set our sails and say, breathe, oh God. Yeah. Just breathe, and
His
we will flow
will
with you.
His presence will do that.
Yeah. Amen. But boy, about it was, Jacob always makes fun of me when I bring the sword out for war. He says, one of these days you're just going to stab somebody. Him and Josh were like, yeah.
Well, don't speak that over anybody.
I said, I was careful. But I think one of the coolest parts is when everybody was marching, I ended up going on the stage and just had the sword, like, over it, like, just over the people of God. And you had, like, four or five shofar blowers. I bet they sounded that horn 50 to 100 times. Easy.
It was very spontaneous.
It was just,
spontaneous.
It was just, I mean, there was freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just feel the freedom of the Lord pouring out in the room. And this is not exclusive here. I'm hearing this testimony. As Miss Jeannie was telling me before, Jesus is doing this in a lot of rooms, and He's doing it in a lot of places. And we're seeing just amazing things happen in a lot of houses of the Lord. And this is not, if you think your church is going to be the one to win the city, you're mistaken. It's never about a church. It's about the church.
The church.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it is, there's a remnant thing going on.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's in every, you know, I love that Brother Ron always said, the wheel in the wheel, you know. It's happening in a lot of different churches. And it doesn't mean everybody in the church is participating, but, boy, there's a lot.
I talked to Pastor Wayne Clemens in Walmart the other day, and he he was saying, Crystal, it's the remnant. Mm-hmm. It's the remnant. So it's funny you're saying that. And he was saying they're having revival service. They're having services where it's just being spirit-led, too. So it's happening all over the place.
Yeah. The service, quote, unquote, is ended.
Right. Yeah.
But the people are still there.
Yeah. It's kind of like
the lingering is happening.
A like-mindedness.
There's prayer still going on, and it's almost like kicking it back up again.
And apparently across, like, the nation or other places, you know, not just Kentucky, because I haven't really been listening to a whole lot of ministers or churches. I've just been in a season where I haven't really been listening in with a lot of those services, but we had young adult group last night, and some of the young adults that listen in to different ministers and things on, you know, on recording, they said that it was almost exactly what was happening at our church was happening at these other churches.
Amazing.
And the spirit, it was like they had their normal plan, and then the spirit just took over, and the way that there was a shifting with the preacher and the worship and everything, like it was happening at these other churches.
When I come in here and hear y'all talk, I'm sitting over here, I mean, right down to the song. The last two times in here, we did Chainbreaker last night. I mean, it's just like, really? I mean, it's almost like your service and our service were so alike, and yet there was no script. There was no paper that said it was going to be, you know. Used to, you could say that.
You said something Sunday about,
talking
about Sunday or Saturday night prayer.
Yep.
And you said it was doing this, it was doing this, and then you said, but then we put our hand on it, and it went a little bit sideways.
Yeah.
I think that people are taking their hand off of things and allowing the spirit to move what's going on and making room.
Yeah.
And it's happening everywhere. There's, again, it's the remnant, but it's like there's a like-mindedness happening within the church, even though we're spread apart.
Unity.
There's a like-mindedness, and that's how we'll take the nation.
Yeah.
Like-mindedness.
Yeah.
Not talking to my brother in Louisiana. Same thing. Their church is just kind of, you know, so it's everywhere. It's not just here.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And thank God for it. You know, it's the body of Christ also rising up, like you said, taking our authority. The ones that are saying, I don't care anymore. I don't want a man-pleasing spirit. I'm going to please God, you know, and I think that's why we can, I think enough is enough of being put in a box.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Saturday night prayer, it was really the Lord showed me. And man, there was such a, this is what I'm talking to so many pastors and so many leaders in so many different churches. And it really started Saturday night in the last sense. There's a prophetic flow of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking in extraordinary ways right now. We just got to hear it. We got to tune in the frequency. It's like I was talking about, you know, if you're on a walkie talkie with somebody else and you change the channel, you can't hear them, but you get the channel and the frequencies lined up. And so, but he showed me, like, in 23, when we really experienced that outpouring of his spirit and just so many people being baptized, so many people being saved, so many people being healed, so many young people giving their life, I feel like eventually, and it wasn't even maybe, it's just people try to start putting their hands on it. It's the same thing that happened in 2015 with us. People started putting their hands on it. And this time, the statement that was made in the prayer we prayed together was, we will not collar this thing, and we're not putting a leash on it. We will set our sails, and wherever he wants to blow us. If he puts us in a tent in the middle of a field 4 days a week, we'll go there. I don't care what it is. It's just we're setting our sails.
It's almost like, you know, there's that story in the Bible where Jesus tells his disciples to pray for the laborers, that God would send forth the laborers, and then the next day he sends them out as laborers. And you know, I told the Sunday school class, there's a place where you have to be willing to be part of the answer to the prayer. And I think that's one of the things that is happening, is there's a willingness coming up inside of people where they are being put in a place where they are willing to be the answer.
That's so good.
You know, the answer to send forth laborers. Here I am, send me. I think
so
it's
good.
You know, I think that's one that.
I'll tell you, yesterday, we have a discipleship, not yesterday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday morning. We have a discipleship morning before the service, right? And yesterday, it just, the anointing got so strong in that room that it was literally like we were in the service. And before we broke up, there was prayer for the sick all over the room. I mean, it was just a move that was happening that does not happen every time.
Right.
And so when we were done, I was like, I mean, it felt like we're having two services today. I mean, it really felt that way. But and it just carried right over into the service itself.
Yeah.
It was an amazing move of the Spirit of God yesterday in our church. And I longed for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great to see.
Yeah.
Great to see.
And he is doing it.
Yes, he is.
I told Josh and Jacob and them on the phone yesterday when I was going at my lunch hour to work out. And I was just like, you know, I feel like I preached three sermons yesterday. Because I think we actually, like, usually, you know, this is the old paradigm we're shifting and changing and killing is, you know, is the four songs. Then I get up there and you shift out of it and you go in your routines and you go in this. And I think literally it wasn't even done with the second song when we were already up there. Like, it was just, and I told him, I said, you might be prepared for one day. The worship's not even first. The word just may be, I mean, we're being sensitive.
I've
like, whatever the
I've
Holy Spirit wants to do. If the Holy Spirit just wants us to start worshiping at 9:13, and we'll just worship from 9:13 till 1 o'clock, because we didn't go to lunch until 1:40 Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it was going on 1 o'clock
I left the church at 1:40. And when we got to the where we was going to eat with everybody, then literally, like, there was other churches that I know is just getting out too. So it's like you could just see it because they're just coming to that place too. And so it's like we're done with the paradigm. We're done with, and it's as Corinthians says, if I'm in my right mind, it's for you. But if it looks like I'm out of my right mind, it's for God. And I'm going with that one.
Hey, but there's a blessing in it all, because I was telling Jason he wasn't able to be there. I said, look, when you get out later, it's actually like you're getting the first pick because all the other church people are gone. So there's more room for us. That's what people don't realize. You actually have
you
more
pass
room.
That 12 o'clock mark.
Yeah.
You're good.
Exactly. You have more room in the restaurant.
I've been in that service where the pastor just walked in and went straight to the preacher.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And but it's not a rule.
Right.
But it was a moment that was happening. And when it was over and we went into worship, there was no lid on the worship.
Right,
it was
right.
Just full blown. We're going to be in this until we're done. It was exciting, really.
Yeah.
And I know, like I said, I know it's not a rule, but boy, when it hits.
Yeah.
Well, what was cracking me up too was us young adults. We were talking about this, and you know, and the whole song. 2 weeks we've tried to do this song, and the Lord keeps wrecking it before we get to the song.
Well,
and everybody's like,
"What's the song now? You gotta tell me."
It's "Daily Bread" by Carrie Job. It's a great song. Like, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, sure.
But it was just so funny. And then Ethan said, "So what's gonna happen if we do the song first? If we try to do the song first?" He said, what's the Lord going to do then? I said, well, we might just not do anything. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what I'm finding in worship and songs even? I think there are specific song for specific seasons.
Yeah.
And you find that in Revelation, because they're singing one song in Revelation 4, but it shifts in Revelation 5. There's one song before the Lamb takes the scroll and breaks the seal. But then the song shifts, because I think there's songs for seasons. And I think as worship teams and worship leaders, that's a thing to tap into is what song is for the season we're in.
Yeah.
Like where what song declares what God's doing in this season.
Right,
and, and there's some seasons where you're breaking your alabaster jar and weeping before his feet. And then there's some seasons that you're chain breaking.
You're going
and,
to war.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like
that
the devil
is
can't
not
have me or my family.
The Daily Bread isn't a war song. It's more of a intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why we've not been able to shift, because we've been in this freedom season of just really going to war for young people and for and I mean, and it's like I can see like what God was doing through the tent in Litchfield. I can see what God's doing through other ministries. Like, I love this one person that we were praying and discipling and helping and counseling through a lot of things and really going through some deliverance with. We've missed him for a couple months, and we've reached out to them, but then I found out that Chris and Tasha's been taken. He's been going there, and a lot of people's like, and I've had, like, you have people like, well, you know, you all, I'm like, I don't care who did the work. I'm like, if this guy's getting set free, it doesn't matter if it's here. It doesn't matter if it's at Cross Point. It doesn't matter if it's Potter's Hope, Kingdom First, at Radiant. It doesn't matter where they're being set free at. This isn't like our little kingdoms that we're building here. This is the kingdom of God.
Right.
And this ain't competition. And this isn't church against church. And this isn't, we have more going on than you've got going on. No, God's pouring his spirit out on the church.
We're losing that.
And we're breaking down the walls of hostility and division. The same walls that Jesus came to broke down before between the Jews and the Gentiles, we've rebuilt up before churches.
Well, you know, it's I've heard it so many times that it happened here this morning where churches are beginning to pray for other churches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, for again, real. That brings that unity. But, you know, it's just like when you pray for a missionary going or whatever, another church, you got your hand in there in their work. You know, you've put forth a part of that. I don't mean, you know, the hand thing. But just like we pray for Todd when he goes on missionary. I'm not there. But, boy, I've been preparing the way.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been preparing the way for...
rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right.
Rejoice in the
Lord. I've been a part of that. And I think that's one of the things that's happened, too, is we pray for restoration, and they pray for us, and we pray for every church around us. Again, we're joining together.
Yeah.
We're part of one.
Yeah. I know. Go ahead, Ms. Chris. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't. I was just going to say, too, and a lot of the root of it is a religious spirit, mm-hmm. you know. And so when the warring that is going on, too, to be spirit-led is to mm-hmm. come against that religious spirit. Even in our own minds, we've been trained a certain way. Even in the full gospel movement, like he said, three songs, transition, you know, either offering or, you know, get it ready, you know, bring a word. Somebody has something, you know. And we can pretty much predict every service, you know. But when we say, God, we've had enough, and we, like you said, you've been warring with a sword saying, no demon of religion is going to come in this place. We're going to allow only the Spirit of God to flow through this place. And as we do, then God's going to mess it all up.
Yeah.
And pastors, we talked about this before, pastors have to be willing to say, I don't care if I preach or not. And whoa, you touch that point sometimes, and pastors are like, well, the word, yes, it does. But a lot of times in the services, when you let go, the word will come forth through a you know, a word of the Lord or of knowledge or whatever. It's going to come out. And not every service should be that way. Yes, people need the word, and we need to be taught. But when we come against, like I said, you know, religion has such a stronghold over so many communities. I remember years ago, I think it was 2006 or so, because
I don't know how y'all do that.
What?
I can't do that. Oh, it was in 2000.
Well, I know seven. I went on a mission trip, and that's how I know. And so, six was 2006 is when Charlotte Nichols and Brother Ron, a few of them came to Louisiana.
Yeah.
And I hadn't met them yet, and they came down and they stationed themselves because there were certain areas that they sensed were demonic religious spirits. And our town, the town I lived in, had four, I think it was the Pentecostal, it still is, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, the Methodist, and the Catholic headquarters of our state are all in our city. And so they came in, and the religious, you know, spirits that were there, they began to call them down. And so what I'm saying in all that is that freedom comes when we first, and that's what's happening here at Bethel and at Restoration and other churches. I have not been in the services, so I don't know. I've been in Restoration. I've been at Bethel. And so the churches that are saying we've had enough of church, mm-hmm. we're ready to come out of a box. We are the remnant that say, I'm not worried about my clock. I'm not worried about, you know, time. I had somebody tell me, when you start seeing the pastor watch his watch all the time, he's getting ready to go a totally different direction. Either he's leaving, that's what they said, or he's going backwards. You know, so I'm just saying that is for his time. So
it's amazing to me. We took the clock out.
Yeah.
The sanctuary has no clock.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the Holy Spirit wraps it up
mm-hmm.
at the
when,
right time.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
nobody's,
right.
you know.
Imagine
going,
that. Yeah, he can do that.
He can do that.
I threatened to take ours out last Sunday.
We took it out. It's gone.
And so, but.
That is such a good point, because he knows each and every family in there, and he cares, and he's never going to lead us into anything wrong. Mm-hmm. He's never going to lead us into sin. He's never going to lead us into not being balanced in something. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we think, well, what about this and what about this? But if our whole life is devoted to him, then he works all the rest mm-hmm. of it
That's
out.
Right. Yep.
He yeah. will.
Yeah. And the Lord, you know, he if something's happening, yeah, if prayer's happening, if the word's coming forth, whatever, and it's time, you think it's time to leave, you know, they, it won't stop anybody. They'll get up and leave.
That's right. I mean, that's exactly
they've
right.
They've always done that.
We love you and bless you in the name of Jesus. But, I mean,
why would you want to stop it? That's what I can't understand.
Just don't stop it for that.
I know there's a story in the Old Testament. I don't have time to preach the whole thing, of course, but I'll say this one part, and you can go study it and look into it more. Israel's in bondage, and he raises up a deliverer named Ehud. Ehud is a left-handed person. So when Ehud goes into the kings, he's going in there, and he gets their secret service. You know how he gets through the secret service? Is because he's coming from a right-handed tribe, and they only checked his left side.
Oh, wow.
Because when you're right hand, you pull the sword from the left side.
Wow.
And so when he got into the king, he was able to hide his sword in the right side because the enemy thinks he has us so bound up. He says, as long as I check their left side, they got nothing packing. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happening now is there's a left-handed generation that's a little bit different, that's a little bit more unique, that's not so much worried about the I heard one pastor this the other day. He looked it up. 85% of the world's right-handed. It's the quote-unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the unnormal. It's the uncommon remnant that's rising up in the earth that the enemy's so used to the way we draw our sword from the left side that there's a left-handed generation that knows how to draw from the right side. And even if you can go into other parts of the Old Testament where it says that left-handed generation, there was an army of them, and they could not miss their mark. They hit it within a hair. They hit the mark.
The right side.
And he was able to take his left hand and pull the sword because they never checked it.
Right,
the enemy, I don't think, is checking a people. Mm-hmm. And it's like the statement that was really made Sunday morning, pushing by the Spirit of God, is, are we somebody who hell knows when we wake up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a true statement. I mean, Paul in Acts 19, it's that the evil spirit literally spoke to Paul, sons of Sceva, and said, Jesus we know. In the Greek, he says, Paul we recognize. So Jesus we know, Paul we recognize, which basically means this: we recognize his authority. And so he said, we know him. Mm-hmm. But we don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know you because you're a facade. It's a religious system that was not sanctioned by the Lord, because Sceva's not even a recorded high priest in a synagogue. It was a synagogue, never in the order of the Lord, but calling themselves a synagogue and calling themselves the holy people. Mm-hmm. And it was a facade and a shadow, and it was a bad one. And so in our life today, and I think this is what's happening, the enemy is okay with us pulling our left sheaf because he knows how to...
Predictable.
Yeah.
He knows. But what about when somebody becomes unpredictable and Ehud pulls it from the right sheaf and he's able to put the sword through the king's stomach and take out the evil king? I said, there's a generation.
Yeah. You didn't see me coming, did you?
You didn't.
The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus says you are mine. That word, that's a strong word, mm-hmm, predictable, because mm-hmm, the enemy has been able for years and years and years and years and centuries and
to
look, this is the church and this is what they do. Watch this.
This is
their weaknesses. Yeah, this is what they're going to do. But now,
man, that's good.
The remnant rising up saying, you don't know what we're going to do because this Holy Spirit's going to come in this place and flood and change things. And
man, I love that.
And you will not know when the pastor's going to speak. You will not know what song we're going to sing and when we're going to sing it. And, you know, and the same revival in the children's church, the next generation coming up in our youth, you know. We went to Karen Wheaton's church a while back, and, man, their youth are amazing, you know, and they're warring. They, at young ages, they're ready to fight, you know.
I think a big part of this left-handed generation, I feel like what the Lord keeps showing me, is, like, people who are in deep, deep addiction, darkness, things like that, that the Lord's calling out. Because the enemy isn't going to expect the people who are so far gone to come out of that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to expect the Lord to grab the least of the, people who nobody would think is going to come out of what they're in. And I see the Lord doing that. Like, I see the Lord calling and using people. And I've heard a few prophetic words actually talking about, like, you're going to see the people that you never thought that you would see in church.
That's right.
You never in your church, like us church people who never thought we would see.
Yeah.
So imagine the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, if us church people never thought that we would, then imagine it is going to blindside
because
him.
It's his territory being taken. It's being
exactly.
It's
he thought he
that
could
belong to him.
He
being
thought
reclaimed.
He could keep them in darkness with these distractions and with these addictions and with whatever he has up his sleeve.
But you know that chain breaker thing that we did yesterday.
Wasn't yesterday.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Yesterday. I know what you meant.
That's why I don't go back to 2006.
Yeah.
That's what I told Jeannie. I leaned over to her.
I only knew because I went on a mission trip in 2007. It was the year before. That's
how. Well, you said it, and I leaned over to Jeannie, and I said, mine's yesterday or the day before.
Huh? Yeah.
But that chain breaker thing that took place, it happened.
Uh-huh.
It was happening.
Yeah.
It literally happened with people in that room that day.
And we just kept on listening to it all afternoon.
Right. And those people are people that you would have never expected to see.
Yeah.
They've been in church for a long time, but the Lord's going to break the chain.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they are people that you never thought you would see.
Yeah.
We're all one of those people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been those people.
Yeah, and that's the proclamation. The devil can't have me or my family. Mm-hmm. This is an eviction notice on the enemy. Chain breakers in the room. And that's the proclamation. My favorite version of that song is it's a version by Circuit Riders. It's a group from Circuit Riders, and I listened to it in the gym probably on repeat for probably 10 or 15 times yesterday, just in me. It's a Black Voice Movement. It's what they're called. It's part of a Circuit Rider convention or whatever it was. And but they sing it, and it's just like,
it's like a remix, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a remix, but man, I love it. I mean, mm-hmm. That thing fires me up.
You could,
it's really good. And that's my favorite version of that song. And it's like a little bit of hip hop remix in the first. Like, it's not like rapping or anything like that, but it's like this. I don't know.
I was trying to find it. I'm sorry.
Give it up for my dad.
Ooh, give it up for my dad.
Yeah, give it up for my dad, too.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I was trying to look it up.
That's perfect. That's like perfect. But it's just the devil can't have me or my family.
But you know, y'all talking about chain breakers. You're talking about these people that no one expected. And all of a sudden, here they are. They're free. They're actually free by the power of the Lord. And they don't just get free.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately turn and grab somebody from the fire.
That's
immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These people aren't waiting for somebody to tell them it's okay for you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
They just go right to it because they've experienced the mm-hmm. encounter that had to happen so they could go free.
Yeah.
And now all they can think about is, I got to get my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. We didn't think that way. We came to the Lord and started church life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we're in this time.
Amen.
I am.
I'll find that song and I'll get it in our library. And I'll put it in there and we'll play it at the next break.
Okay.
And I want to say a little backstory about that song. I think where the Lord's taken us, He wants to birth songs. Like, He doesn't want us to just think it through and make it so pieced together here and here. Like the way the religious has turned into church, it's also affected worship.
That's right.
And this song was just spontaneously given during a service.
Yeah.
It was not a bunch of people in a green screen and in a room.
Yeah.
You know, it was at a core revival, and it was just given. Mm-hmm. It was just spontaneously. And it was a declaration because it's a group of women and children that was created to fight for their families. Mm-hmm. And so that song is perfect for the mission of what God was doing in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And then that group birthed a men's group. And so there's a men's group that meet together. And in the men's group, when the revival was hitting that group, they were worshiping all these men, only men, in I don't even know where it was, some kind of conference center. And the ground literally, there's pictures of it if you want to look it up, but the ground literally broke outside. Like there was like there was cracks and like where the flooring like came up.
Oh wow.
And after they were worshiping.
Wow.
And so I think that's what the Lord's wanting us to let Him birth things and be open to that.
And that's happening.
Right.
That's happening. Mm-hmm. If you're open to it while you're in worship or whatever, the songs, the words are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll just open your mouth and let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. I've experienced it. I've seen it.
He'll give us his heart. He'll start speaking his heart because that is his heart.
That's right. That's right.
That all families would be in alignment with him and not under the territory of the enemy.
I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God from his temple. He heard my voice, and my cry for help reached his ears. Then the earth shook.
Ooh, I knew it was
and
there.
Quaked. The foundations of the heavens trembled. They shook because he burned with anger toward the enemy. Mm-hmm. Smoke rose from his nostrils, and consuming fire came from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by it. He parted the heavens and came down, a dark cloud beneath his feet. And it goes on and on. From the radiance of his presence, flaming coals were ignited. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High projected his voice. He reached down from heaven and took hold of me and pulled me out of deep waters. And it goes on and on. That's 2 Samuel. I read that last week, actually. But, yeah.
The earth this shook. This is the fire you want to hit your
That's
life.
Right.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, there needs to be an expectation within us that happens. You know, Gretchen was talking last night, and she said, you know, she was telling about where a place that she had listened to a man, but he was talking about the Bible is not just a storybook about what God did. Mm-hmm. It's the way he does. It's not just what he did, it's what he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we read Moses, the Red Sea parting, and Noah, and we read all of those stories. Well, those were just things that God did that he's still willing to do and can do now.
Yes.
This man said, the world does not need to see just what the exhibits have been. They need to see what is happening in the church today. Mm-hmm. We need to. The Church of Acts never stopped, has not stopped.
That's right.
It's still going on. And we need to expect within our life that the earth will shake and the mountains will smoke and God will breathe and show up, show up on behalf of his people.
That's right.
We need to have that great expectation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wreck the room.
I got the song.
Amen.
Got it good.
Let's hear it.
I got it good. We'll go to break, and this is like a 6-minute song. It's a little spontaneous, and there's one spot at the end. He goes, and the nations, they will come with broken chains above their heads. My goodness, I love it. This is my favorite version of this song. It's by Jonathan something. I'll figure that out in a minute. Well, here you go. We'll be right back after the break. Hallelujah. And as they were shouting in the back, no more chains, no more chains. It's my favorite version of that song, I think.
That end part is just reminding me of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Like all the earth, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
And that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
And the nations of the earth.
Come on.
Woo! I love that. That don't get you fired up.
Like Jeannie said, you may not like the song, but it was prophetic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's prophetic of what's going on in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think some prophetic songs, they do have a different kind of sound. Like, it's not like always a pleasing sound. Yeah.
You remember Kim Clement? Mm-hmm. He was weird. He was weird.
It's different.
Isaiah brought some pretty stout things too.
Isaiah did. Yeah, it's like, I don't even know what to really call that. It's really nothing. It's just going to war and... Yeah. That's a proclamation there, and it's just, I listened to that thing 15 times in the gym yesterday working out. It's hard not to shout and run around, but I'm so fired up for what the Holy Spirit's doing the earth, and I can see it in my spirit.
I've seen it.
I feel it. Like, I'm thinking about how, like, you know, he's not coming back as a lamb.
A lion.
He's coming back as a lion, and there's a ferociousness to that, and I can even sense that ferocious sound. Like, the sound of worship is shifting from the, like, the lullaby cute sound to, because that would be more of a lamb, like the soft and gentle. It's shifting to, like, a, not that he doesn't have a gentle part of him, but the ferociousness of God.
Well, it's shifting to a declaration. There's more of a proclaiming happening now than. You know, and it might just be the hearts behind it, but there's something happening. There's definitely something happening.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeannie's sending me a text message about a scripture, and I'm like, that's my scripture for my daughter.
Well, it's mine now.
Well, you want me to read it? It don't matter. You want to read it or you want me to read it?
Go ahead.
All right, Jeremiah 31, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Mm-hmm. Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for the reward for your work will come. This is the Lord's declaration. And your children will return from the enemy's land. There is hope for your future. This is the Lord's declaration, and your children will return to their own territory.
You know, I think what I'm sensing here, you know, several week or so, 2 weeks ago, you said, then you brought the words. But the thing of it is that don't forget to live the life that God said happens. You were talking about denying, and you were so busy denying yourself that you forgot to live the life that came with that. That God, the reason God says deny is so you can have the life. Mm. You got to remember that there's life. That's the same thing, and it started out, this is what the Lord said.
Yeah.
And there's a place we've got to come to. God said that.
Yeah.
We got to live it.
Yeah. And you know, Miss Karen, I've been thinking about the war a lot lately, just the war, because Josh Kemp said, you know, when the heavens invade the earth, that's an invasion. That's a spiritual war. That's mm-hmm. a war. And I think in the church, we're so consumed with warring with Satan.
Yep.
The war is not against Satan. Satan's been defeated.
That's right.
The war is to pull every soul that we can out
right.
of the miry
that's
clay.
Right. That's right.
We're going to get out of there. Well, you know, get them out of hell. Our war is over souls.
That's
our
right.
soul. That's what we're warring for. It's
that's
like
right.
Lot, when he went and got captive, Abraham said, give me my 300 best men. We're going to war, and we're going to take back Lot and everything else that got stolen from them. They were warring over Lot.
Right.
We focus all of our attention on Satan, devil. And I think for so many people, that's our spiritual war, is we're just going to rough up the other side of the mountain, and we're just going to keep fighting the devil. Look, the devil has been defeated.
Amen.
The grave, death, hell, and the grave has been defeated. Isaiah told us one day we will look at Satan and say, is this really the one
this
that made
him?
The earth shake?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really him?
Right.
You got to get your attention off of Satan. Look up, mm-hmm. look out, and you'll see what the war is really over.
Well,
the war is over souls, friend.
What's that verse? Commit yourself to the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Resist the devil. He's going to run.
He's got no place here. I'm going
right.
to keep marching.
But it takes right. this. It takes that commitment to the Lord.
Submit.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this. I'm actually seeing this walked out. And one of the things that we this week said, Satan's in the house. Of course he is. There's the Lord's moving. He's not going to be too far.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna, why? Because he's there for the distraction. Mm-hmm. He's there to disrupt. And they see, you know, if you're not we haven't been in a place where we recognized it, we petted on the thing.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing it for what it was, but we do not need to chase over there. And say, you know, he's not getting any glory.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so when we see the addiction, we see the stronghold, we see people bound and captive, we don't see, oh, Satan's got them. No, we see the power of God is present,
mm-hmm.
and the power of God's going to set you free mm-hmm. in spite of, I see you over there, but you don't have any,
mm-hmm.
You don't have what it takes to overtake yeah. what's getting ready to happen right here.
I think this is where we give no place. You have
yes.
no abode. You
yes.
have no authority. You have no jurisdiction here, and I don't have to listen to you. I love this statement made whenever I shared this a couple weeks ago, whenever the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar came up to them and said, why do you not bow? They did not try to defend themselves. You remember what they said?
Yep.
We don't even owe
we're
you
not,
an answer.
Yeah, we're not careful
when
about
it comes to answer before you or God, we don't owe you an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's what we got to tell. I don't owe you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blood washed. I have been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. I have mm-hmm. been Holy Ghost filled. I have the Father living in me through the Holy Spirit. I said, we don't have to give him an answer. We don't always have to acknowledge him. We just keep marching. The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust
mm-hmm.
of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you just look up, the rough Come side on. Of the mountain and you make the warfare just about you and Satan, the warfare is I'm going to go to war because my children are dependent. I'm going to pull my children out of the pits of hell. I'm going to, by the grace of God. And I feel like Abraham and Lot's one of the greatest examples of this, because Abraham said, just give me my 300 best men and we'll go take back Lot and everything the enemy stole from him. And that's that intercession. That's that prayer. That's that going to war. We're tearing down the strongholds. And Ezekiel said, I look for a man that will stand in the gap.
That's right. And Pastor Aaron, I love what you said about it's the soul, you know, and look what the enemy has done to the body of Christ, through to the world right now, with the things of the mind. And the soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. And have you ever seen such an onslaught of medication for wills, for emotions, for you have this disorder, you have that disorder, you have this. I'm dealing with it in my own family of medicating to where they can't function. Have you ever seen, and us three, Jeannie, Karen, and myself are about the same age. We remember, I don't remember medication like it is today. It's an answer for everything. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, for though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience has been confirmed. And, you know, it's also a war on the mind. How long are we going to let the enemy just take our thoughts? Mm-hmm. How long are we going to let him just torment us with fear and anxiety and worry? And I've been through some things in the last last little bit of time that I've had to just run to the Word. That's all I can do. We talked about it last week. But it's our thought process. Mm-hmm. The minute that thought comes to our minds, you know, we should cast it down. And we know that in this room here. But that's what we're warring also against the enemy, over people's minds, over their emotions, over trauma that has happened to them, where when they experience trauma, they don't walk through it with the Word. They walk through it with medication. That way, then they're numbed, where they can't even function. And it's a war on our minds, and we have to bring the Word.
Yeah. If we, you know, this is something we learned back years ago, that we let slip.
Yes.
But how do I cast down those imaginations? Mm-hmm. We talk about you can't think like that, but a lot of times people don't know what to do with it, so it just comes right back.
Yeah.
Comes right back, because the best way to defeat wrong thinking is right here.
Is the Word.
It's in
That's
your
right.
mouth.
That's
it's in
right.
your
Cancel
mouth.
Cancel it out with the Word of God.
You have to speak up. You're going to have to, you know, somebody, I pray silently. It's time to get mouthy.
That's right.
It's time to speak up, and then you're in that, you'll see your victory come forth and your children's victory.
That's right.
But there's a power in the words. Do a search on the Word.
Oh, I know.
Do a search on the mouth and speak, and you'll find out how God feels about
He's
it.
He's watching over His Word to perform it, is what He says. My words will not return to me void. Mm-hmm. But we have to speak them out. We have to declare. Yeah. It's a declaration. And as you do that, then your thought process changes. And when things come at you, you say, wait a minute, but that's not what the Word said. You know, He's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hannah, would you correct me? Just a minute ago, I made a negative statement. Hannah goes, no, you know, and she corrected me. And I need to, that's right. Let me line back up with what God says about me. And it's in Christ. It's nothing we do.
Yeah.
It's the Word working in us. Mm-hmm. It's active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And as we speak it, like we're talking about the sword coming out of our mouth, we're declaring, we're speaking forth. Things have to move. Yeah. That's the war in the heavenlies, of getting our thought process where, wait a minute, the devil, that's why we sang that song, the devil's not taking my family. I don't know what God's going to do in it, but it's all going to be Him.
But
and it's what He's going to do.
When you start speaking, when we start speaking, our mind will shut down to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
It really will.
Well, God, Moses tried to tell the Lord that. Well, uh-huh. I can't do this. I can't do that. But that, He's like, it doesn't matter.
Right. You know, there was one point in time in my life, I know this is going to be hard for some of you to believe, but there was one point in time in my life when I thought I had a mental illness.
Well, I know I did. I'm just kidding.
But I really did. I really thought I was mentally ill. But, you know, that's not what it was.
That's right.
It was lack of discipline, mm-hmm. lack of responsibility. You know, it was that place where the Lord said to me, be a doer of my word, not a hearer only. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know, I knew some of the word, but I didn't always know how to apply it. And I didn't always remember. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing of it, and I thought, I'm crazy. I'm weird.
Yeah, I've been
I'm
there.
Weird. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a strange individual. And I am, you know, and I felt real good about it when I read that God said, he called me peculiar. He said, we know you are, you're peculiar. you know, it means more than just that. But the thing of it is that that's what it is. They want people to say, according to them, everybody has a mental illness.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, you know, they misbehave. Well, they've got a mental illness.
What disorder do they have?
Yeah, it's always that. But see, the thing of it is it's not always that. Sometimes it's discipline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a lack of responsibility. With a Christian, it's a lot. Well, with everybody, it's a lack of obeying the word of God.
Yeah. Sometimes it's sin.
That's right. That's what it boils down to, separation from God.
Yeah. And we've unpacked this quite a bit on here of sickness and illness and mental illness. And I'm a pro advocate of medicine in some areas, and then I'm an anti-advocate in some areas.
Amen.
And I think that when you get into the word pharmakeia is whenever you start to see the word sorcery brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where it starts to twist the mind. And I got a scripture I'd like to read, Miss Crystal, because you read that.
Yeah.
And it actually goes along with Miss Jeannie because it takes the voice away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Babylon is falling. And we did that series on Babylon. And chapter 18 and verse 23 in Revelation, this is talking about when Babylon falls. And it says, the light of a candle, being the church, shall shine no more at all in thee. The light of the candle is not shining in thee, Babylon. They're done. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. We're done with it. We're done with it. But here's where the most significant verse in this, I believe, this section is. For thy merchants, or great men of wealth of the earth, they became wealthy, is what it's basically saying. For what? By thy sorcery. That word sorcery, guess what it is?
Yep.
Pharmakeia.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And verse is chapter 18, verse 23, and it says, the wealthy men become wealthy, and the whole nations are deceived by pharmakeia. Mm-hmm. That's literally what it's saying right there.
Right.
All nations were deceived by pharmakeia.
And it's also witchcraft, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's witchcraft.
Yeah. It's where the root word pharmacy comes from.
Yes.
And again, I want to preface that I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not telling you what to do, but I am saying this, that there's some medicine that's good and that's healthy. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the medicines that are literally like taking you out of your right mind and you can't function.
Look at the next verse.
That's one. And it says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That's the Babylonian system.
Mm-hmm.
And we taught for 3 weeks on that. I bet we have 4 or 5 hours of teaching right there just on Babylon, because it's prevalent. There's an economic and a religious system of Babylon. It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, Nimrod, and all of that, and how every paganism comes out of Tower of Babel, because what Babel was about was not building a building. It was building a system, and their system was going to reach to the heaven. It was never about building a building that actually touches the heavens.
Right.
It was about a building that gets them past judgment, because they no longer need God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nimrod was building, because they just got killed by the flood, their ancestors did. Just 3 or 4 generations prior to that, Nimrod said, we're not going to be judged again. We're going to build our own religious system that touches the heavens.
Right.
And we're going to get up there. And all paganism comes from Tower of Babel, because it flooded the earth at that point. You can research it, and you can research every pagan thought and every pagan god. They all go back to Babel. And it's because that's the system that's in the earth. That's the system that Revelation tells us the beast will ride upon. The Antichrist will gain power upon the system and the false system of religion. And then it actually says the destruction of Babylon is from the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will swallow the system of Babylon, because he no longer can need her, and she doesn't serve his purpose, because now he is God and he's rose above the system. So the very system that he gains power on, he will swallow and devour.
There's one of the churches in Revelation is wrapped around that. One of the six churches he speaks to, they were in a center that was medically superior.
Yeah.
You know, they they did a lot of research there, and the actual symbol of it was the staff with the serpent, yeah, which is the same symbol that we see today.
Wow. Yeah. There, I know we got to go to break. There was an acne medicine. Just we'll do a shorter song, come back in, because keep the flow. There was an acne medicine that was released when I was in school, and it was a pill you took. And I had friends taking the pill, and they would tell me they have to go to a psychiatrist once a month because people were killing themselves on this pill.
That's nuts. Wow.
And I mean, that was what they were telling me. That they were like, we have to go see a psychiatrist once a month to do this pill because people were committing suicide because the pill was taking people's out of their mind. Mm. And I'm like, tell me how that's not sorcery. Tell me how that's not taken out of generation.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about insulin. We're not talking about things that help a headache or things like that. We're talking about the medicine that's being used to actually take you out of your mind.
And
I'm no medical doctor. Go talk to one. But there's enough Christian doctors out there that will tell you what they'll be a lot smarter about than I can be.
I want to speak to that when you come back.
So here we go. We're going to take a break. We'll read our trivia question this time. We were so fired up last time. We didn't even read it. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, Paul made a reference to scripture that described a stumbling block placed before the Jews. What was this stumbling block? What was this stumbling block? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Hallelujah. There's nobody in the grave now by Elevation. Hallelujah. Amen. Love that song. Only one gets to wear that crown. Amen.
Yes.
Well, got no answer for that trivia question yet. Uh-oh. In the book of Romans, Paul made a reference to scripture that described a stumbling block placed between the Jews. What was that stumbling block? Amen. Mm. Let's see here. I did have a question that came in from a listener, so I will answer that. I'll let Miss Jeannie say what she wanted to say first, though, before I get into that question.
Sure, you want to do that?
Sure, go for it.
No, this has been on my heart. I've been talking it up a little bit, but my heart grieves as I watch the body of Christ so many times within the church. That's where, you know, you hear these things the most. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it is the place. It shouldn't be in us as much. We should be the answer, like you said earlier. And I just want to challenge believers right now. If you're in the world of medicine, I'll say it like that, and you've got more pills than you really need to be taking, my challenge to you is, when's the last time he was first? Mm. And I'm not saying don't take medicine. I'm not.
Yeah.
I won't touch that. That's between you and the Lord. But what I am saying, it was he first?
Mm-hmm.
Was he first? And I go back to a time I remember when my girl was sick, and she like 105 fever, and she's lifeless. You all know the stories. And I've got her laying in my lap. I've got the phone in my hand and the Bible on this side.
Mm.
And I went to him first before the phone call.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying is, let the Lord be your answer for everything. And so if you find yourself in a place where you think, I've got to take this medicine, don't take anything without bringing it to the Lord.
Let him guide you.
I mean, come on. Because you're saying, Lord, in spite of everything that's happening right now, may I weaken this. May I don't know how to respond to this thing that's happening in me. But I want you to know that I have faith in you above all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just give him the first place. That's all I'm saying. And watch what happens.
Yeah. And I'll answer this question. I'll take this question and we'll answer it together. But one time I preached a sermon about 3.5 years ago, and certain leaders of an organization come at me pretty hard on social media. Now, I don't care. You come at me all you want on social media. I don't have it. I don't care what you say. I'm not seeing it. And so I don't have Facebook anymore. So they told me, I made a statement. I gave my testimony. That's all I did. I said I was on my way to preach one morning, and I was getting ready to take that pill. And the Holy Spirit said, where will your joy really be found from? And I threw my pill away.
Mm-hmm.
And I never took another one, and I found joy in him. And that was I just said, that's my testimony. And then I was really hard rebuked and said, leave it to the experts. And I didn't engage back and forth. And so, because I'm not feeding the beast, the beast can rear all at once, but I don't have to feed it.
Right.
And so I just, but basically we are experts in deliverance because we know the one who is an expert.
Amen.
And I'm not about treating, I'm about wholeness.
Yes.
And I hear people all the time, well, I tried that Jesus thing. No, you tried it. That's your problem. There's no trying Jesus. There's a surrender to
There's
Jesus.
There's a relationship
And
going
Jesus
on
doesn't work if you do it halfway, okay? And so this whole trying theoretically Jesus, like I tried it. I tried reading my Bible. I tried praying every once in a while. Yeah, but you did not repent of your sin. You did not make Jesus Lord. You did not get the Holy Spirit to live in you. You may have read your Bible once. You may have prayed three times or went to church three times. But I'm telling you, trying Jesus is a lot different than getting Jesus. Because whenever he comes walking into the room, I'm telling you, death has to flee. Addiction has to flee. Strongholds have to flee. There is no trying out Jesus to see if you like him or not.
You know,
it is an all-out surrender.
I had somebody say that to me one time, and it was the Lord. I mean, I would have never come up with it, but they said, well, I think I'll give Jesus a try. And I said, that's fine. You go ahead, you give Jesus a try, but let me tell you something. If you're going to give him a try, you make sure you bring everything you are with you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just half-heartedly give him a try. Bring him everything, because that's how he's coming to you, with everything he's got.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and give him a try, but you bring him it all.
Yeah.
Bring everything you got, because that's legitimately and legally the only way you can ever say you gave him a try.
Yeah. And I know I've got to get to this question. I know it, but I got to say this. I was talking to this one person one time, and they were like, you know, I tried this, and I just could not shake this depression. I could not shake this anger, and I couldn't shake it. And there's like, I think the Lord wants us to do this, and the Lord wants us to do this. And talk about a lot of secular things. And I'm looking at that person's life, and I was like, I love you, but you won't forgive. I said, you have so much anger. You have so much bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
You are a bleeding monster inside, and you're wondering why you're depressed.
That's right.
Because you cannot hold unforgiveness in your heart and expect to walk in wholeness.
That's right.
I wish that word would go. You got to forgive. You got to look at this thing. And when we say give Jesus your all, that means your lust. That means your pornography.
That's right.
That means your music. That means your movies. That means your friends. That means your family. That means your unforgiveness. That means your gossiping tongue. That means you're
all
giving Jesus everything.
Now you're really
and you're
in
wondering
it.
Why you are walking around depressed and oppressed. You look at your friends you're hanging around with. You look at the music you're listening to. You look at the movies you're watching. And you would not be shocked why you're depressed.
Right.
What you feed is what will grow.
That's right.
And you are feeding that beast inside of you. And then you're wondering why this Jesus thing don't work, because you're not working them.
That's right.
I'm going to give this scripture, and it's going to be very familiar, but it is still the truth. 1 Corinthians 11. He said, let a man examine himself.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. How many times do we say, I'm a Christian? I'm a Christian. And it's today we're doing communion. Oh, and then you march right up there and do communion, doing all these things behind the scenes. All of these things. He said, what are you doing? You're drinking and eating him unworthily.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because you are living any way you want to. And saying, Jesus is my answer when I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and he said, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. This stuff's coming on you because you're not even discerning what's really happening here when you say, Jesus is my Lord.
And this is why we should take time when we're praying for healing for people and over people to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on. Because there's times that sickness is a result of that sickness is a result of sin. Sometimes sickness is a result of the fallen world. And sometimes sickness is a result of the enemy's attack on your life.
Absolutely.
You've got to see and identify what's going on. It could be a spirit of infirmity, but it also could be just what you read in Corinthians. Some of them are sick and dying because of their sin.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be real honest about this and unpack what the fullness of the sickness has caused, because we can shout at demons that are not there.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We can shout at demons that are out there all day long, and it's going to do nothing.
Right.
If it is a demon, let's cast it out.
Right.
But if there's another cause, we need to address that too. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God will give us discernment, and He will give us direction.
And
in
see,
all
these kinds of words, when you bring this kind of word, like what I just read right there, because it was King James, you know, people say, you know, well, you're judging me. You're bringing the law into it. You're bringing, you know, because it was a hard word to them. Listen, that word's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's life to me. I'm not afraid to look at me and say, Jeannie, are you jealous? I want to know. I want it out of me. I don't want nothing interfering so that when I walk in my place with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to heal me, he does time and time again.
You know, last summer, y'all, a lot of y'all have already heard this story, but maybe the radio audience needs to or will get to hear it. I just finished up chemo and radiation and surgery and all those things. Well, they had me on a certain medication. I guess I can say it. I don't know. It was Keytruda, which is an immune therapy treatment. And they'd been giving it to me for 9 months. Well, all of a sudden in the summer, about June or so, my liver started getting affected by it, and my liver levels dropped real low. And so they said, they came in and they said, we're going to have to stop the Keytruda, which I had 3 more months to take of it. And all it is a type of preventative for in the future is what it is. And so they said, you know, we're going to have to stop this and we're going to have to put you on real strong steroids to get your liver back up. And I said, okay, and then what? And they're like, well, we'll just have to see what your liver does. And then once your liver's back up, we'll put you back on the medicine. And I said, so if it put me back on the medicine and it affects my liver again, then what? Well, then we'll probably have to put you back on steroids. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Well, hold up. Something's wrong here. And they said, well, it's just, you know, we feel like this is a good, you know, and they give you reasons. And I'm not saying they're wrong. It was wrong for me. So I went home. I kind of told Todd, and he was kind of like, I never really wanted you to do that one anyway. But I began to pray. And I'm telling you, when you submit first, like Jeannie's talking about, when you submit first to doctors without asking the Lord, we went to doctors, and I thank God for it. It was a treatment that worked for me. I believe God, like I said last week, God healed me first, and then a certain herbal drink I'm drinking called Black Walnut, I drink that. That was second that healed me because it's cured so many, and then the chemo helped. That's all I can say. I think it helped. I don't know. But anyway, I'm cancer-free.
Amen.
But during that, I went home, and I sat on my porch, and I began to pray, and I said, God, I don't know about this. I don't know what to do. Because they were also telling me all the side effects of the steroids. And I'm like, so 60 milligrams, which is really high dose. Boy, I got so much work done when I was on those steroids. I mean, I was buttering, cleaning out the whole garage, cleaning out the Anyway, so I went to the Lord, and the Lord said, he gave me Deuteronomy where it says, you've been on this journey long enough, it's time to stop. And he was talking to the Israelites, it's time to start going a different direction. So the Lord told me right then, no more. That's enough. And it was one where David, with the where God gave him the three choices. And then all of a sudden, and David says, I can't think right now. You know the story I'm talking about where he says you can either do this or this as your punishment. And I can't think of the exact story. But anyway, and so right in 2 Samuel 24, then it says, and then God said, wait a minute, enough. And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. So then I have to face the fact that I got to go back and tell these doctors I'm not doing this anymore. And you talk about fear hit me.
They don't like it.
Fear gripped me.
I know,
because
like
I had to go face them. Now that right there should tell me something.
Yeah.
But I knew I'd had a word from the Lord. When I got my word, I was good. And then I was like, I can face anything. And I went back to them and they were like, well, we suggest you don't get off of it. But if you feel this is your body and we can't make you. And I said nicely, no, you can't. But I did. I said, well, this is what I want to do. And I did. I got through. I had to be detoxed off the steroids. You know what I'm saying? But God came in and intervened on me. So then I go to a new doctor because I wanted to get back here in town. I go to a new doctor, and that doctor says, and I tell him what I did. I'm thinking he's going to go, well, you should have maybe, you know. And he said, well, you know what? He goes, I think you made the right choice. He said, because they're testing that drug and they don't even know if it's doing anything different. So he said, your liver's way more important than what you're taking for that. That's a chance. And I'm like, thank you, God. What wisdom came out of that? So I'm telling that story not to talk about any drug, whether it's good or bad. Right, and if you're on it, please don't take it that way. What I'm saying is when I went to the Lord, like Jeannie's saying, and I'd been praying and asking God, but at that moment he said, stop it. It's enough. That's enough.
He'll do that for anyone.
That's right.
And about anything.
That's right.
In your life.
And
that's
I have been cancer free, and I have went back to him several times, and there, my blood levels are right, my liver's wonderful, and everything's good with Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And I love that because I do think there's a lot here to unpack, and I think there is a lot about healing and the body, and even natural things. Mm-hmm. You even mentioned some things there,
And I know like the Lord uses, and I want to clarify this. I give God praise because the Lord has used doctors in my life.
That's right. Amen.
And in my kids' life to be very pivotal. We are not anti-doctors, and there's men and women of God in that field that are doing tremendous things for the kingdom of God. And God gives us good medicine for a purpose.
That's right.
It's to better our life in some areas, but then there's some that's not. And I think Ms. Crystal, you're right. We need to pray for wisdom, and then we need to pray. Look at what we're doing in our own body. I know my blood pressure was really high for me, for my age. And, I think one time it pushed almost 190 over 110 or 105 or something like that. And it was up there really high. And just changing these things to the glory of God and my own eating habits and my own workout habits, my blood pressure now runs about 121 over 79.
Awesome.
And that's just in a month. So it's all to the glory of God because he gives us the ability. Mm-hmm. Like he's worked this body and we just need to get into it. And that's what Miss Jeannie is saying. If there's something in here that's corrupting and there's something in there that's because guess what sin does? It brings chaos and death.
Amen.
And that will introduce a lot of things. And we can say what we want about this. We can try to excuse our behavior, but sometimes we're just looking for a sugar daddy and not a God.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody that would just
good.
Get us out of the jam.
Yeah,
and sometimes he's like, hey, we're like, Lord, we need you to heal me. And he says, I need you to put the fork down. Like, or I need you to heal me. And he's like, I need you to change what you're eating. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you took a walk, son? When's the last time you tried to de-stress? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you sought me? Mm-hmm. When's the last time
right
you stopped gossiping about your neighbor? Like all these kind of things.
You come aside.
Like, don't be shocked whenever you start to pray for healing and the Holy Spirit starts to give you direction.
That's right. That's
don't
right.
be surprised.
And you know, you talk about doctors. I love doctors and nurses, and they're great people.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
They give their life to these kinds of things. They have long hours and many people to see in a day and all of that. But if they're in that for the right reason, they love it that you're well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
right.
They're
oh, yeah.
glad that they'll celebrate with you that you're okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing too is that if I'm going to say that Jesus is my Lord, I don't want to do anything take that in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this talk, this word about going to him first, that's not taking the name of the Lord in vain.
That's right.
Not taking the Lord in vain is not giving praise and honor to anything else before you give it to him.
Your life's not governed by him.
That's right.
So you've took his name.
Mm-hmm.
And be afraid to obey that word.
That's right.
Because it's hard when you've been in a habit, when you've been in your body is used to something all the time, or you find comfort in that whatever, that sin, that pill, that whatever. And pills are not sin. That's not what I'm saying. Two different things. Sin that's in your life, whatever God's showing you, don't be afraid to address it.
Yeah.
Like me, I could have kept doing that medicine out of fear because they told me this is my plan and this is how you're going to stay healed. And I had to say, wait a minute. I just got a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
So,
and I could have just said, okay, God, but I'm just going to finish the next 3 months. And then, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe nothing. I don't know. But I was so thankful. And that's why I read 2 Samuel all the time. He reached down from heaven and pulled me out. Can I read another scripture real quick? I woke up with this morning, Psalms 57. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for I take refuge in you. I seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes by. ESV says, until the storms of destruction pass by me. I'll call to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And the message says, or holds me together. He reaches down from heaven and saves me, challenging the one who tramples me. God sends his faithful love and truth. And I love that God will fulfill his purpose. He wants to fulfill his purpose, but if I'm cut short by sickness or disease or mental health or whatever I'm facing, sin that I won't deal with, then, you know, I can't fulfill his purpose. I can't, you know, and that's why I'm on this thing and everybody just probably like, oh, Lord, would she stop? My second chance on life.
Come
I mean,
on.
You face the snares of death, and when you do, it's like, you know, I never thought I was going to die. I thought chemo might kill me, but I didn't know. I never thought, but you face the fact that I could have. When you get car wrecks, anything, or not car wrecks, but anything that, you know, a life-threatening thing, then you come out going, I got a second chance. I want to savor every moment. I want to do whatever God's telling me to do. I want to be obedient. I want to go for it because he's holding me together, and the storms of destruction will pass. And, you know, and just, and like I said, how long are we going to let the enemy torment our minds?
You can't compare your life to somebody else's.
No.
This is a very personal journey.
Yes.
And what happened with somebody else doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen with you.
Right.
You know, because so many times that's what people start pulling up those stories. Well, I knew so-and-so, and they was a good Christian, and da-da-da. It's personal.
Right.
It's personal what the Lord will do between you and him about your situation. Mm.
So and then you got to go to these doctors and fill out all these forms. Did your mama have this? Did your daddy have this? Did Aunt Susie? Did your great-grandma? And it's almost like I was like, yeah, she did, but I broke that hereditary curse, you know, as I'm filling
but
it out.
But the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, it's almost like they're, but you
know,
feel like they're looking
yeah,
for
it.
The old man did,
yeah.
But the new man
but you
doesn't.
Know what? They did that genetics test now. You can do this genetics test to go back in your head. And mine came back totally clean. So
we
you see,
we got to get out of spiritual. We got to get out of the recliners, y'all.
Yeah.
Mm. We've reclined into whatever everybody says.
Yeah.
And we need to get out of the recliner. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't know if this is right or not, but I was kind of with Ezra, you know, taking your, you have to fill out those things too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't really know what to do because I'm not claiming any of this.
Yeah.
And then I was.
No, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, but Ethan said, we're not putting any of that. So we just put nothing. he said, well, that might have been them, but it's not us. So we just put has none.
That's right.
None of this.
I
mean, what good does they can't do nothing about it? Even if my grandma did have whatever.
Well, yeah, they can do something about it. They can start medicating.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's how I always felt like they were looking for
the
something.
The new man has been washed, and every generational curse has been destroyed in Jesus' name.
And guess what? Everything. I'm not telling anybody what to do on that.
Right.
But everything that he's had has came back. Like every time I take him to the doctor. Everything's completely healthy. He looks great.
I mean, what did man do before doctors? They did herbs. They did this. They lived. They asked the Lord. And that's all we're saying. Again, let's all repeat it over and over. We're not saying don't go to doctors.
No.
We're not saying don't take your medicine. We're saying ask the Lord first.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Ask the Lord
that's
first and
let the
see,
doctor confirm it.
He created your body. He created this body. He knows when something's wrong with it, and he can tell you.
And I think Miss Crystal made a really wise move. Whenever you got the word of the Lord, you went back to your doctor and you said, this is what I'm going to do because I feel it.
Yeah.
This is what I feel like the Lord's going to say. And I think that's just talk to you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and let me just say, there's really great men and women of God that's in these fields that will talk and consult with you.
Mm-hmm. They'll pray with you.
They will pray with you. I know I'm trying to get to this question, but there's just over so much things to say. When my first, and everybody knows Jackson's testimony of dead, life, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I've given it a lot. But really one of the backstories to that is the first doctor, which I won't say names, which, you know, it was rough. He almost killed Jackson.
Mm.
He added to it, like because he didn't do his job right, and really the nurses weren't to blame because they were just following the orders, and everything this doctor was having them do was contrary to what the Children's Hospital said to do, and so he made the matters worse. Well, the right doctor got in there and he said, "I think he's going to be okay, but I can't be sure, so we're going to send him to the specialist." And that's whenever he was getting shipped up to go to Cozera at that time. It's Norton's Children now. And that doctor made that decision. He trained there, so he knew. He knew a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. And we, for years, we were just grateful he made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were just so grateful because Jackson wouldn't have survived if he stayed there because they didn't have the medical procedures there that he needed. So sending him when he did, he died basically on the way to the hospital in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just holding on, and then they was able to rush him into emergency surgery, get the tube in, all that good stuff. But if that doctor wouldn't have sent him at the right time. But here's what we did not know. And I love how the Lord works full circles and lets you see what he really Because this doctor we saw about 3 or 4 years later with another, it was almost 6 to 7 years later with another kid. And he said, how is your first kid? I said, oh, he is a healthy young kid. And I said, we love him so much. And he's loud and he's he's definitely vocal because, you know, it was just all these things. I remember whenever you're laying lifeless, you're like, Lord, if I could just hear him screaming and scream all he wants. Now, sometimes, like, I have to remember that promise. But this doctor told me something. Man, how about broke down in tears in the office? He said, your kid was the sickest kid I've ever treated.
Mm.
That's what he told me. He said, he's the sickest kid I've ever treated. And he said, he worked the night shift that night. He probably left the hospital about 3 or 4 in the morning. And he said, I went home and I prayed the rest of the night for your boy.
Mm. Wow.
He said, I went home and I prayed all night for your kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's the kind of doctor I need in my life.
Yeah. And that's the kind God will send
if you ask
him. Trust him first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll come in agreement and alignment with you to believe God. Give you what you need. Give you whatever you need medically. But we'll come in alignment with, we don't have to accept this. Yeah. We don't have to believe this, you know. And that's where God holds us together and gives us those divine appointments, those divine words that, you know, that forever change your life, you know. Yeah. And mine was right here where I was trying to say a while ago is where it's in 2 Samuel 24, said, but the Lord relented concerning the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough, withdraw your hand. And when I don't know why God did that with through this scripture, but it hit me and I had my answer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, and the whole time I'm going up the stairs to the doctor's office, I'm saying, God, you said enough. So I'm going to follow through, you know.
Yeah.
That's when the power with it comes, though, is when God gives a word, there's power on
That's right.
it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
there's
right.
power to accomplish. That's why you've got to move.
The anointing.
You've got to move right then because God said, it's That's that right. thus saith the Lord thing.
I'm sorry.
Or I was just going to say, I do feel like it's a mission field too, because I think a lot of times when there's us as a patient, we are believers, like we can really, our testimony and what God's doing can really reach the doctors and the nurses.
Yeah.
And help build their faith if they're doubting God.
Because they see so much.
Yes, they see so much. And they may not take you seriously when you give God the glory for it, but it's still planting seeds.
Right. Just
you
know, sowing seeds.
And I'll never forget, because I feel like my routine or like my schedule has changed so much with being in ministry and then having a baby and stuff. Like, I feel like I don't get out a lot, like I go to Walmart, I'm here, I go to the doctor with him, but that's about it. And I'm like, Lord, I don't really, like, how can I really reach? I know we're reaching people on the radio, but how can I really, like, connect with people? I used to be around people all the time, being in college and school and everything. And, you know, one day Pastor Aaron was like, whether it's this or whether it's Hannah at the doctor with Ezra. And I'm like, oh, light bulb, like that can be a mission field.
I don't even remember saying that.
He was just listing out, like, whether you're
that's because God was using you.
He's like, whether you're cutting hair at the salon or you're
God was talking
at the doctor's office. And I'm like, that is a mission field,
that's right.
Whether we're going to our appointment. And so I've tried to be more mindful about just giving God glory for things at appointments or just keeping my eyes open for those things. Because when a doctor has a patient that's a believer, like, that is the time for him to shine through us. That's
and Karen was making the statement. I told Jeannie this past week, I said, the Lord, through all that, what I was just talking about last summer, I had the word hear, say, and move. Those were the three words God said. Hear what I'm telling you, say it, and then move on it immediately. Don't wait. And so if I'd have waited around, I would have talked myself out of it. Right. So I stay with that. Hear, say, and move. Hear, say, and move. Get it, say it. And move out on it. Move.
And you know the thing, too, is that you had said, you made a comment that if you had gone back on that medicine and taken it for 3 months, regardless of what the Lord was leading you to do, if you'd gone back and taken it, that it might have done something, it might not have.
Right.
But see, the thing, too, is that we've got to remember that when we hear from the Lord, that it is impossible for something not to happen. And I mean that in the place where we either abide by it, obey it, or we don't. It's impossible for something not to happen.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You will either take that word and you will claim it.
Mm-hmm.
It will become who you are. It will begin to do a work inside of you, and it will begin to change your life.
That's right.
If you disregard it, it doesn't belong to you.
Right.
And it will set you in a place where this time you disregarded and didn't do what God told you to do, and the next time it'll be easier to do it
That's
again.
Right.
It
right.
will mm-hmm. always do something.
It's a stop sign story.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
Know, we can go to I go to the stop sign. I can go left and get where I'm going, or I can go right and get where I'm going. both of them's going to take me where mm-hmm. I need to go.
Right.
But the Lord said, go right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to take you on a different mm-hmm. road.
Right.
He wanted to take
right.
you to the same outcome a different way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Where you and him were in a relationship
right. yeah.
that trust was happening, that was setting you up for
right.
the next one.
Right. Right. Dalton, man. He was talking about last night, I think it might have been in that sermon, anguish sermon that Pastor told us to listen to, but it may have been something else. But he was saying he was listening to something that was talking about when God speaks, you know, and being obedient or being disobedient. And he said, if you're going around, if you're saying that the Lord's been speaking the same thing to you for 3 months and you've not listened to
right.
it, then that means that you do not have the fear of the Lord in your life. Mm. You don't have the fear of the Lord, because if you don't listen and it takes you more than 3 months to listen, then you fear whatever else more than you fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was saying, if you listen to your wife when she asks you to take out the trash the first time, but you wait 3 months to listen to God, then which one is your God?
Mm. Oh, wow.
Is yeah. your spouse your God, or is your mm-hmm. God your God?
You know, Jeremy said this last night. It was a powerful statement. He said, "What this is what the fear of the Lord is to me. Being separated from him."
That's
ooh.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're talking about right
that's
here.
Mm-hmm.
Being off loose on our own, separated from what he had for you, what mm-hmm. he wanted you to
that's
do.
Right. Yeah. You know, yesterday when we were doing that chain break, I was telling Jeannie later, but and it applies to everything we were, that song, the chain breakers in the room. And, you know, I began to, it's not that I all of a sudden realized it, but the thing is that when God says a word, when God, you find yourself in a place where he's moving and he's doing things in the life, in your life, because you feel it and you resist it, you've just said no to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've just said no to God and what he wants to do in your life. I mean, it is as simple as that. It is as basic as that. It is that extraordinary.
Yeah.
You've just said no to what God wants to do in your life.
Right.
And again, the Lord is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
He is fun. He's got it's mm-hmm. an adventure to live a life with him.
It is.
But he is flat out serious about what he's doing.
That's right. Right.
He doesn't
yeah.
take
and
anything for
yeah.
granted.
Yeah.
Yep. And let me echo what Miss Crystal said is we're not here sitting here trying to tell you what to do and what steps to take. We're saying there's one step you always gotta take,
right.
and that's listen to him
that's
first.
Right.
And that's in all facets of life, not just about
mm-hmm.
pharmakia or whatever you want to insert in there. It's about your depression, it's about your anxiety, it's about your gossiping, it's about your slander, and it's about your pornography, it's about your lust. Anytime you're looking at him and he says, I want to take that away, and you say, I like it a lot,
mm-hmm.
what Miss Karen said, you're choosing. And
it's
choosing
about how to raise
day.
Your kid.
Yeah.
And so you got to be, this is where we got to surrender all. And don't be surprised when there are things you're walking through because you're unwilling to release other
that's
things
right.
because they're open doors into your soul
mm-hmm.
and into
I mean,
your life.
Ouch,
and how many of us have walked in disobedience?
Oh, yeah.
And the relationship between you and God shifts a little bit. Not God, it's us. Because then you're pulling away a little bit because
yeah.
you're like, God, I disappointed you. The disappointment that comes when you don't disobey. I mean, when you don't obey. And so we, you know, as I obeyed that, no glory to me. Glory to God speaking to me and saying, enough. I go, Romans 4:17. I am strengthened in my faith. And I'm giving glory to God. All glory to him. He's telling me to. But that's how I'm
but
overcoming unbelief
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to believe God for more now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard him. He spoke to me. Thank God I obeyed it. Because, you know, I have the Holy Spirit and I listened to it. I could have not. I did. Thank God. But in that, I become strengthened.
That's right.
I'm strengthened. Because you
right.
say, how do you get strengthened in your faith? Obey him in everything, and each time you're going to see that miracle, you're going to see that direction, you're going to see your life, as it said, fulfill your purpose,
right.
and then you're going to be able to just go into the journey, like you said, at the stop sign.
That's right.
Go, how many
sometimes
went,
that's obedience.
Yeah, how many
yeah.
times
just
we went the
right.
wrong way? Man, I hate that. The GPS, reroute, man, and you got to go 5 miles out of the way, and that, you know, and you don't have to be that way. If
right.
you just stay, and it tells you
mm-hmm.
60 feet, 30 feet, listen to it and then turn right,
yeah.
you know, and then you know where you're at.
I kind of like to allude to it as like practicing obedience
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
there's been times like it's something as simple as I was gonna wear those shorts, but I felt like I think I should wear those shorts. It's like almost like the Holy Spirit, and like it's just shorts. But I think sometimes he lets us practice this obedience in the private so that we're prepared for the public. The bigger, if I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
no,
it's like
it makes
the
sense.
Stop sign. Like sometimes nobody's going to know if you go left or right.
That's right.
And there may not even be significance in left and right. It just may be, say, I'm letting
the
you
obedience.
Have this practice.
But if somebody's following you, it does make a difference which way you turn right or right. Yeah. If somebody's behind you in a car behind you and you're leading the way, and you go right when you should have went left, then they all going to go left because they're following you. So,
that's a good point.
You have to make sure that you're listening to the Lord when because you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's following you.
I think obedience is like one of those words like right up there with submission.
Yes.
When we hear the word obedience, we kind of shut down because we think, here comes
legalism.
Here
it comes. Here
I have to
comes.
Do something I don't want to do.
But no, it's really obedience was the Lord said, go that way. And are you going to go that way? Or that's obedience.
Right.
And so, it's obedience in big things, little things, whatever we call it. But it's a following.
Everything.
We're following him.
And we're he gives us these. And I know, like, I agree with Ms. Crystal on that. Like, if somebody's, when you follow, people's following you, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
But I was somewhere, and I really wish I could remember the whole situation, but I was completely by myself. Nobody was around. And it was like something as simple as I was walking somewhere, and the Lord said, just walk around. And I'm like, it's a much shorter this way. Yeah. And I just really feel like the Lord told me to walk around. And maybe there was significance I didn't know, but for me, it was just like, all right, you got to trust me with these.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got to learn to trust you with that. And you got to learn to trust me with this. Like, I got to prove, and there is a proving. There
process.
Is a proving
yes.
process.
Amen.
And it's like Saturday night during prayer, we stopped normal prayer and we just said, you know, because it's easy just to go in there and do like, you know, let's take our prayer requests, let's pray over each other. But I was like, man, I just feel like, let's just make room for the Holy Spirit to speak.
Yeah.
And I said, at this moment, I don't care if he gives you a vision, a brief picture, a word, whatever it is, he's speaking. And I was trying to provoke and put people in there to start hearing from the Lord. Like, it may not be something grand. You may not do a 3-minute prophecy in the King James language. Like, it's, you know, it could be just something that's a picture that just pops in your head. And then all of a sudden, now
it
person after
move.
Person started to flow. And I think just giving him room and practicing in obedience
presence.
And open it up. But and it's like, it's not nothing small, guys. It may just be a picture. But if he can start trusting you with that picture, he can start trusting you with the mysteries.
That's right.
And so.
And if you'll go right. That road was longer, and he had something to say.
Yes.
Somebody was in that road that you needed to talk to.
Right. It's that place where when we will obey and trust him in the little things, that's him speaking life. That's him taking you to a higher ground, if you'll be faithful in these little things, he'll give you bigger things. Mm-hmm. And see, again, that's the life he said he has for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a full life, full.
You know, I had somebody back, I think I said this last week again, they said, man, I wish my Bible looked like yours. If you see my Bible, it's pretty rough. And I'm not bragging in that. What I'm saying is it's been a process, you know.
Amen.
Or you may say, well, I could never go on the radio and talk like that, or I could never do what Pastor Aaron does, or I could never work with the young people. I don't have it, you know, but as you take, the only reason we're sitting here and are full of the word, it's not any glory to us. I mean, it is some credit to us because we've taken the time. It's been a process, and that's the whole life of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So wherever you're at, you know, Gideon, the Lord said, just do what I tell you to do now. Just do it in what you have now. Because he said, why, God? Why can't we do this? And he said, I have it right here. He said, how did he say it? He said, go in the strength you have.
Yeah.
Just go in what you do know right now, hear, say, and move. And as we're all talking about here, those steps will come and it'll come. And you'll strengthen your faith. You'll give glory to God. You'll be able to hear more. And as Pastor Aaron was talking about, he was just telling him, take a picture, you know, I mean, talk about that picture you see, that vision, whatever God's doing. And then the next time you come, God may say, faith with that picture. Or God may say, faith in God with that picture. And he'll say, move in faith with God. You know what I'm saying? It grows. It adds within you. The more obedient, the more steps you take, the more process you walk in. Because, you know, we don't get where we are sometimes. And hopefully we're back, we're about low and we're humbled again, even at our age and even as long as we've been in the Lord. But as the same time is, it's because of obedience. Walk in obedience. You know, there's one scripture that says, pursue peace. And sometimes you don't have a word. Sometimes you just know, stay in the peace. Mm-hmm. That's all I've known sometimes. I feel peace here. I'm staying right here.
We say in Celebrate Recovery, we encourage everyone that comes, just keep coming. Mm-hmm. Keep coming to Celebrate Recovery, which is part of it.
Yeah.
But keep coming. That's what the Lord is saying to you today, whoever you are.
Right.
Just keep coming.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep coming after me.
Do it.
Keep pursuing me. Keep looking for me. Keep searching for me. Keep wanting to hear my voice. I'm telling you, that's how we started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do it in the strength you have. Yeah. Just
and give him what you got.
That's right.
That's right.
He
that's
says,
right.
What's that in your hand? You know, just take what's in your hand and move.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Crystal, I hate to tell you, but I've been in a situation where I've had a Bible like that.
And
the Lord made me give mine away, too.
I'm telling you what.
I had notes all over it. And the Lord said, I want you to give this to somebody. Mm-hmm. But you know, the good part about that was when you got your new Bible,
you start over.
You started all over again.
That's what I have another new Bible.
I've done this.
I don't want to. It's like I got all my things in here.
But he might want you to give him to somebody else and start all over.
Well, nobody's asked for it yet, so don't
have to
do that.
First time the Lord told me to do that, I grieved. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I
would grieve.
I didn't want to give that Bible up. It took me a few days.
Yeah, you had to go back and reminisce through it all.
Oh, it's got my kids' names in it.
I just stopped buying Bibles. I had to give them all away. It's my big so excited about my new Bible. 3 days later, it's not even with me no more. And I'm like,
oh, no.
I said, oh, my gosh.
This one's only from, like, 2011, so it's not, like, 30, 40 years old. But it's my kids gave it to me, so, it would hurt. But if that's what God
did that with me, there was – it's called the Change Your Life Bible. It's NLT, and it was in a season where I was kind of – I hadn't been reading my word very much. Mm-hmm. And the Lord really used that Bible to, like, wake me up and speak some things to me. And there's commentary on each day. So it's like a
study Bible,
day of the year.
Yeah,
Bible. Devotional, so you have like a Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, Proverb. Every single day you have that, and then there's commentary. And I'm telling you, that commentary truly is inspired by the Holy Spirit because it was just like reaching me where I was. But the Lord I think I bought a few of them, and He had me give them away, and really had me transition from reading that to reading, you know, other Bible.
Right.
And He did show me that He wanted to speak to me through His word and that other people, you know, might need that to wake them up of where
notes.
They were at.
They need it. Yep.
Yeah.
And so it didn't even have my notes in it, but
just the commentary.
The commentary could reach somebody else.
Now
he
got me all worried. Karen, Lord's going to make me give a Bible.
He will. I think He will do that.
No!
Well, the only thing I can say is if He says it, you move on
I will. I might take pictures of it or something.
This won't take long to answer this question, but I always want to try to be faithful to the listeners when they do that.
Because
this is moving where we're at. This is not taking us away. This is actually feeding into what we're talking about. This is a powerful warning with Box 2. I do have a question. We know the great I Am, the God of the universe, is omnipresent, omniscient. My question, He can display His power regardless. So why is it He is not manifesting in all Bible teaching, Bible believing, Holy Spirit accepting churches? No, I will add, I went to Him first praying over my two sons, and I know this dear lady of God, and she lost her first son. She lost one son, and the other one the Lord is healing right now. My God can and my God wills. I will, and I worship Him in all ways. Now, there's a lot to unpack in there, but I will say, let me say this first. I don't have the answer why some are taken and some are not. Mm-hmm. His ways are way higher than
That's
our
right.
ways. And I want to say, not everything that is taken is because of grotesque sin or anything like that. Sometimes, there's times in my... I'll use this as an example. I was praying for somebody out in public about 6 or 7 months ago. This lady came up to me and said, I'll just say it, it's a Heather's Bank. Mm-hmm. And I was in there talking to Ethan. And she sometimes says, you don't even come see me. You just come and talk to Ethan. And I said, okay. Well, and so I was talking to Ethan and Miss Pam came back and said, hey, will you pray for this gentleman? He just found out he had pretty intense cancer. Mm-hmm. And he's an older gentleman. And I said, absolutely. I said, you go get his permission and I'll come in there and pray and talk to him. So she said that he said that you know, he would love me to pray with him. So I went in there and I just talked to him for a while, and he was crying. He was upset, and it was just me and him in this corner. And before long, there was 13, 12 employees come around us, and I'm just ministering to this guy, and I'm like, hey, sir, I'm going to pray for you. I said, we know God can do miracles, you know, because he's talking about his heart and his relationship with Jesus. I said, but I want to know this answer before I pray. How do you want me to pray? I said, do you want me to pray for life, or do you want me to pray for peace? And I said, do you want me to pray for calmness? Because I think sometimes people are at peace with going. And we're trying to hold on. And I said, I want to know how you want me to pray. And it choked him up. And so I won't regard his answer. I'll keep that private. But we began to pray as a whole bank. They prayed with me. And we were interceding over this man of God. And I think sometimes people become at more peace than we realize. And people are just ready to go. And sometimes it's the Lord's will and it's the Lord's plan. I want to be careful in all that, because I think we can go in a different direction if we're not careful. But I want to say that I can't give answers why one son's taken and one's not. I could not speak into that because I'm not qualified.
I don't think
anybody is. I think we just put our trust in the Lord that his ways are higher than our ways. But I do want to say this. I mean, there are times that certain things cause it. But I think those answers are for you to ask the Lord, not me. Ask the Lord, and he will answer. But to this question earlier, the main question was this: why is he not manifesting in all these churches? Well, for one, I would say he is more than we realize. Like that song Waymaker, he's working when we don't even see it, and we don't even hear it, we don't feel it with the tangible senses. He is working. The second thing, I think Leonard Ravenhill said it one of the best: the reason we don't have revival is we learn to live without it. We're willing to live without it. We may be believing the Holy Spirit, we may believe the Bible, we may believe all this, but we've grown, we don't cry out. We're not desperate for the power of God to come. And I'm talking utter desperation. And in America, we are very guilty of this. We are so entertained and coddled, and I mean, we can turn lights on by our cell phone now. We can turn our washer and dryers off with our cell phone. We don't have to get up. I mean, the only thing we haven't figured out is how to make it fold the clothes for us yet. Like, we're I call us in prophecy the Wally generation that sits on a chair, pushes a button, and everything happens. And that's kind of where so many people are at. And we've learned to do life, even though we believe the Bible, even though we believe it, we are not utterly dependent upon him for all things. And our providence has been shifted. And I feel like that's one of the greatest reasons we're not seeing the miraculous power, is we've learned to try to live without it.
That's right.
I want to speak to this. And this is a personal, but I know what it's like to be laying on the floor crying out to God for life and it not happen. So I'll say that first. But the story of David is what he dropped in my heart so many times. And it's become my go-to as far as where I'm at in it, where I'm at. And as I pray, I always pray for life. I always pray for healing. I always pray for deliverance. And I'll give it everything I got, all the faith that I can find. I trust you, Lord. But when David laid out before the Lord for that boy to live, and he didn't, he got up, washed his face off, and ate. And they said, well, you know, why? And said, because as long as there was breath, perhaps the Lord would deliver. But when that was not a thing, he went on, trusting the Lord with the outcome. Sometimes you just have to trust the Lord with the outcome. You can't fix why the whys of it all. Just, I mean, sometimes we just got to wash our face.
That's right.
We just got to move on and trust him with what happened there.
Last year, I was asked to speak at Bethel's ladies' meeting. Miss Kathy asked me to speak, and the message I had was turning your why into what. And the Lord gave me the several different stories, mainly Job, of course. We all think of Job, and in Job 23:8, he says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things." And then it says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'll stand upon the earth." And the couple of questions that I had were, what do you want me to learn from this journey? Not why am I going through this, even though, you know, because I went through several different things in my life. It's, what do you want me to learn?
That's good.
And what do you want to come out of it? And the third one was, where's my testimony in it? What do I do now? You know? And so what do I do with mm-hmm. my child's death, as right. she's saying? What do I do with it? And I would just encourage you, you know, when you ask why, it's an area of trust with God. It's a fine line with trust with God when you're saying why. But even though Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? David said it, why have you forsaken me? Job was, you know, where he was.
They were covered.
But they all came back and said, mm-hmm. I know that my Redeemer lives, mm-hmm. and he shall stand Amen. Upon the earth. And so when we get to that, God, I don't understand, but I know. I went through a big, and we need to go, but I went through a big rejection from God when I got the diagnosis from cancer. Jeannie knows. She prayed me through this and fussed at me and spoke at me and said, wait a minute. Because I was like, what did I do, God? What did I do? I kept saying, why? I don't understand. I'm not in sin. I don't have bitterness. I checked my heart. I did all that because, you know, you hear cancer, you got root of bitterness. You know, I did. God, do I? All these things. And I finally, and that's when the Lord gave me this in my heart of like, turn that into what? Let go of the why. Like Pastor Aaron said, and Jeannie said, some things we'll never know till we get to heaven. I don't know why people get killed every day. We don't know, and why good things happen and bad things happen to good people. We all have that statement. But when we turn it into what, and we say, God, what do you want me to learn? What can I do with this storm? It says He'll be with us when the storms of destruction pass by. And what's going to come out of it, God? How can I help you in what you want to come out of this journey? And where's the testimony in it? What do I do now? That's the thing we should be asking. God, I don't know why. And my heart is broken. So I encourage you that Amen. Go to the Lord and say, what, God? What can I do with this storm to turn it around for God's good? Because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And we just pray for you. Can we just pray for this lady? God, I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, God, let all these questions of why. I can't imagine losing a child, God, but you can, God. And Lord, so we bring it to you. We bring this person to you, this lady to you, God, whose heart seems to be broken, God, in the loss of her child. And God, we don't know why she's had to walk through this journey, God, or why her other son is not well. But God, we know that our Redeemer lives, and He shall stand on the earth. And He is the God that says, I am the God that healeth you. And thank by you, Jesus' stripes, we are healed. And God, we thank you that you move in this woman's room right now, God, and heal her heart from grief and mourning, God, and let her why turn into what? What is she to learn from this journey? How can she help others in this journey, God? And Lord, we pray for her. And we don't know why the church is not rising up, but all we can say is we change our confession to the church is rising up. Amen. The church is going forth. And God, whoever those, the remnant that wants it will go after it, God. And those that don't, all we can do is pray for them, God. And we thank you for the chain breakers that are rising up even now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't let your situation, whatever it is, family out there, it never defines you, it develops you.
Amen.
It's not your end game. It's it's just another point that He's going to develop and grow. And I love that. Don't let it be a why, let it be a what. What are you doing?
Let the revival start with you.
That's right.
Can I read one more Charles Spurgeon's quote?
Sure.
You may fear that the Lord has passed you by, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as if you were the only creature he had ever made or the only saint he ever loved. Approach him and be at peace. Mm-hmm. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. We'll be tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.